Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim walad-dallin. Amin. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night, inshallah, from 7 to 9 p.m. as we highlight the believers in our community who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. Tonight we're going to be, inshallah, talking a little bit more about Ramadan, and we are going to move forward with our planning. Inshallah, we'll have Imam Rashad and his wife back on at another time due to our technical difficulties in the very beginning of the show. If they intend to call back, they can still call back in and we can proceed with the show tonight. But to be fair to everyone, we want to make sure that you get a good overview of what they are bringing to the table because it is phenomenal. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about Ramadan and preparing for Ramadan, inshallah. We have been talking about several ways in preparing for Ramadan. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about the five pillars. We have been talking about the five pillars, and we did the Shahada last week. And if you have any questions or comments, always remember that you can press 1 to come into the queue. You can press 1 to come into the queue. We will be talking about the second pillar of Al-Islam today. We're going to play a short station break, and we'll be right back after this station break.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Interfaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the Intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
All right, and we are back. All right, so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about our pillars of Al-Islam, and we will be having the opportunity for you to have questions. Those of you who are joining us, we are excited that you are here with us tonight, and we will just move forward accordingly. Inshallah, we will have Imam Rashad and his wife to join us next week. Number one, the profession of faith is the Shahada. The belief that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger is a central component of Islam. And we talked about that last week. So today we're going to highlight a little bit about Shahada. The phrase is written in Arabic and is often prominently featured in architecture and a range of other objects, including the Quran. And so when we take the Shahada, we know it is basically the declaration of faith that every new Muslim takes before they are able to declare that they are Muslim. Now, if you notice, it did not say believer. It said Muslim. You bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. That is what the Shahada is. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Okay? That's how you become a Muslim, and you're led usually by a religious leader, a scholar, an imam, or a sheikh, and you take that shahada with witnesses in front of the masjid or ummah. So we're going to go on to number two. Okay, number two is prayer or salat, and we know that prayer is very important for us to make sure that we have our prayers ready and ready to go. We want to make sure that we are making not just our five prayers during the month of Ramadan, but we are also making our tahajjud prayers and our tarawih prayers, okay? Our tarawih prayers are very important for us to make because we get extra blessings during the month of Ramadan. In addition to that, it does help if you did not get to read your juice for that day if you make your tarawih prayers, okay? Because typically the imam or the muadin or the person who is leading the salah is going to go over the juice for that day. And so prayer also purifies, protects, and purifies. We know that when we make salat from each salat, one salat to the next, it will purify your sins, inshallah. You will be forgiven from if you committed any sins between each prayer. That is an opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to be clean. Allah says it purifies us. So we want to make sure that we do that and acknowledge our Creator. All right, and so we're going to keep moving. The next thing we want to talk about is making sure that when you do have your salat, you are not focused on anything else but Allah. You totally block out everything that there is that will come in your path that is not conducive to a productive prayer. Clear out anything, any thoughts that are productive or unproductive, because your focus needs to be solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are able to do that, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. And so what we want to do is make sure that we have a clean, solid place for prayer in our house. If you don't have a prayer room, just have a small area that you can make salat in that is has no pictures. We talked about that before because we don't want any distractions. And some Qur'ans and maybe prayer rugs and also just a space where you can have some ambiance and focus solely on Allah. I also recommend nature. Nature is a part of Allah's creation, and it helps us to relax and focus solely on our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. And so with that said, we are going to go ahead and go through our prayers. We are talking about the five pillars of Al-Islam. We are going to continue to talk about that for the next 5 weeks. The first one we talked about last week is Shahada. The second one we're going to talk about this week is prayer. And we're going to go ahead and start with, of course, our first prayer, which is Fajr prayer. Those of you who are Muslim and have been believers for a very long time know that that is the pre-dawn prayer and that we make two rakats during that prayer. It is also recommended during the month of Ramadan, again, that we get up earlier around 4 o'clock and make, or 3 o'clock a.m. actually, and make our Tarawih prayer, okay? If you're able to make Tarawih prayer, you can do that, okay? And if not, strive to do that because especially during the month of Ramadan, it gives you extra blessings. It is that time when the angels are descending. Allah is listening. The earlier, the better. And he tells us that those are the characteristics that the prophets did. Those are some of the actions that the prophets did. They made Tarawih prayer, and they also made their Sunnah prayers. So make sure that you are recognizing that opportunity, especially during the month of Ramadan. So then we go on to Fajr prayer, okay? The recommendation is if you do get up for Tarawih prayer, go ahead and read your Quran until Fajr comes in. You're already getting ready to eat your sahur. Read your Quran. That's a perfect opportunity to get your juice read. And then go ahead and make those intentions and make your Fajr prayer. And with, again, it is it's preceded by two sunnahs, because there are no sunnahs after Fajr. And then you make your two rakats to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing we are going to talk about is we are going to make, the next prayer we have is our Dhuhr prayer, which is our mid-afternoon prayer. We are going to make our mid-afternoon prayer, and we always suggest that you make your sunnah prayer before or after Torah prayer. You can do it before or after. And that is also the prayer that we do during Juma, okay? And we know that the first two rakats during Juma are the khutbah that the imam is giving, okay? And then the two that we do after the Juma khutbah is given, that will be sufficient for our Salat to Dhuhr prayer or Salat to Juma prayer on Friday. So that is very significant that we remember that on Friday we do Salat to Juma, which is two rakats, because the imam is given a khutbah that will be the first two rakats of that prayer. The next prayer is, of course, we're going to move right along to one of the most important prayers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is the most important prayer because it is the midday prayer. It is most difficult to make. People are generally getting off of work. They're busy. They're preparing dinner. It is the midday prayer. But Allah says that it is the most important because it takes more of a sacrifice to do that. And so we want to make sure that we get that prayer in, especially the midday prayer. He emphasizes the importance of that. Stopping everything we're doing and making that prayer is essential. And Allah will bless us and reward us for that. The next prayer, of course, is maghrib prayer at sunset. And it is the one of the shorter prayers. It comes in and goes out really fast. So we want to make sure that we are making our maghrib prayer on time. Okay, Allah is looking to see what his servants are doing at that time of day. And it does say to make your prayer at the beginning and the end of each day. And maghrib prayer is also important because of the significance of the sun setting. It also represents the time that we actually break our fast during the month of Ramadan. And so we want to make sure we are on time, not only with our salat, of course, but with breaking our fast in a timely manner. And so after that, we have our salat to Isha prayer. And we know that that is four rakats. They are two aloud and two silent. We also recommend, and we all know as Muslims, we make our sunnah prayers as much as possible, and that also can be made before or after Salat to Isha. After we make Isha prayer during the month of Ramadan, typically we go right into Salat to Tarawir. Okay, and again, as I said, that is usually the juice for that day. Most of the imams do go ahead and go do that juice, or they do as much of it as possible, depending on their community and what their intentions are. So again, prayer is very important during the holy month of Ramadan. Those of you who are tuning in, we appreciate your patience with us this afternoon, and we ask that you tune back in next week so we can have Imam Rashad and his wife, Sister Sahara Mahdi, join us, okay? They were recently here in Charlotte, and they were so looking forward to joining us tonight, and we will have, inshallah, have them back on next Wednesday at 7. They have to come on early because they have other obligations. And so, alhamdulillah, Allah is the best of planners. So we want to make sure that they're relaxed and comfortable when they come on and share. So we're going to have them come back. We're going to take a short station break, and we'll come right back after the station break.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Tactics. And we are back on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. This is Sister Khalida Akbar inviting you to join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we highlight the movers and the shakers or the believers in our community who use their God-given talents to do none other than help remake the world into a better place for all people. I am going to highlight our guests that will be here next week just to give you a little taste of what will, inshallah, be in the making. We're going to go ahead and share with you who we plan to have. We're going to share their bio so you can be expecting them, inshallah. If you have any questions or comments, always remember you can just press 1 to come into the queue, okay? All right, so we are also talking about our Ramadan, and we want to make sure that we have all of our prayers on time, we make our prayers on time, and that we prepare for them so we can have the best Ramadan ever. During this month, we'll be going over all of the not the Shahada, we did Shahada last week, but all of the 5 pillars of Al-Islam. And we want to highlight the ones that are important to us. They all are important, but we want to give details on how to make each one of them effective for this Ramadan for all of us, okay? We did prayer. We did Shahada first, and now we're on prayer or Salat, okay? And basically, Muslims pray facing Mecca 5 times a day at dawn, noon, mid-afternoon, and sunset, and after dark. Prayer includes a recitation of the opening chapter of the surah, of the Quran, of surah, and it sometimes is performed on a small rug or mat. Typically, Muslims, we all know that we use a prayer rug. That's what we call it, a prayer rug. You can pray individually at any location or together in a mosque. We strongly recommend that we pray together as much as possible, and especially during the month of Ramadan, because we know that prayer in congregation holds higher benefits and blessings, okay? We get more blessings like that, okay? All right, so inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We know that the brothers gather in the mosque for the noonday prayer on Friday, and sisters, we all come. And it says that we're not obliged to participate if the sisters have small children or are just unable to get there. There are other ways that you can fulfill that obligation, but brothers are definitely obligated to attend that prayer. And it focuses on the Holy Quran, okay? And then the imam also leads us in the group prayer to close out Jumu'ah prayer. The next pillar is zakat, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And it is the basically giving charity or donating money to help others. We know we increase that during the month of Ramadan. We're able to increase our wealth and make sure that we have a nice and prosperous amount that we are giving, because we know that any time that we give, Allah blesses and increases that, okay? So we want to make sure we increase our charity during the month of Ramadan. If you have any questions, you can press 1 at this time. We're just highlighting the 5 pillars of Al-Islam. All right. The next one is fasting, and we know that we are going to be not eating from sunup to sundown. We are going to get up and make zuhur, which is a small light meal in the morning, and we are going to drink plenty of water, and we strongly recommend getting the vitamins that you need. Any medications that you are taking, make sure that it is okay if you are taking medication to fast. Get a clearance from your physician that it will not affect your health, because Allah says he doesn't want to put us into any hardship. So make sure that it is okay to fast, because as we discussed last week, there are more than one ways to fast. So if you are not able to physically fast, you can abstain from other things. You can increase your charity. You can make sure you're not backbiting. You can make sure you're not wasting time or money or energy. You can make sure that you're doing extra good deeds. So there are other ways you can fast. You refrain from anything that's displeasing to Allah and increase the things that are pleasing to Him. And you also can feed people who are less fortunate than yourself if you are not able to fast. So keep that in mind. There's more than one way. Do not put yourself in harm's way trying to abstain from food if you are not in the healthy situation, or your body is not able to withhold that and sustain that fast, because Allah says that He does not wish to put us into any hardship. All right. So, mashallah. And we are going to go to the last pillar of Al-Islam. After we read a little bit about fasting, of course, during the daylight hours of Ramadan, it is the 9th month of the Islamic calendar, all healthy adult Muslims are required to abstain for food and drink. Through this temporary deprivation, they renew their awareness of a gratitude for Allah and everything He has provided for them, including the Quran, which was first revealed during the month of Ramadan. During Ramadan, they share hunger and thirst of the needy as a reminder of the religious duty to help those less fortunate. And the last one is pilgrimage, and it is to make the trip to Hajj. And every Muslim whose health and finances permit must at least strive to make one visit to the holy city of Mecca, which is in Saudi Arabia. The Kaaba, a cubicle structure covered in black and embroidered hangings, is the center of the Haram Mosque in Mecca. Muslims believe that it is the house of Abraham, built for Allah, and Muslims face its direction when they pray, or when we pray, because we know many of us are Muslim who are tuning in. Since the time of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believers from all over the world have gathered around the Kaaba in Mecca on the 8th and 12th days of the final month of the Islamic calendar. And so we want to make sure that we are knowing and knowledgeable of our 5 pillars, because what do pillars do? They give us a solid foundation, even if you just look at it from the perspective of the pillars on your house. Okay, they're going to give your house a solid foundation and for which you to build upon. So you're going to build upon these characteristics and these requirements that Allah gives us for us to be successful as being Muslims and believers. We want to reach that point, not plateau, but the point of being able to be a believer in Allah and be consistent in sustaining our faith tradition throughout the year. Each year, Allah brings us Ramadan to give us an opportunity to get back on track or just to refine and strengthen our belief system and our deen. All right? Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. We're going to take a short station break, and we will be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, and we are back here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We are going to go ahead and make sure that we give ourselves reminders. If you have an opportunity to have a prayer schedule, many of the masjids have them printed out. That will help you make sure that you are honing in on those prayers daily, that you are not being late if you are not working or you're at home or you have the opportunity to make it right on time, especially during the month of Ramadan. Take that advantage and get it done immediately when it comes in, and Allah will bless you. You will see that you will be increased in blessings. You will see that your Ramadan, inshallah, will be a mercy and a prosperous one, and it will also be one that is very, very fruitful. Okay, because Allah says whatever we do for him during the month of Ramadan, he gives the reward for that. And fasting is the only thing that Allah asks us to do for him. Everything else is for us. And even in that, we still get rewards from Allah. And so, mashallah, we want to make sure that we focus on that and we keep the momentum going and that we stand strong in our faith traditions. Okay. In addition to that, I am going to, like I said, go ahead and read an overview of the bios, and then we're going to play Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah Alayh, and inshallah, we can have our special guest on next week, because we had a little bit of technical difficulties today. All right, here we go. All right. While we're searching this up, go ahead and make a note to email me at info@cwsc.us, and we will be having a little gift for those of you who hung in here with us tonight. Call back in. If you can just email us at info@cwsc.us, because we definitely appreciate your patience and your consistency. We plan and Allah plans, and he's the best of planners. All right. right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Our beloved couple that we hope can come back on next week. It says, Alhamdulillah. It says, we are so excited and looking forward to joining you. We just released Iman Rashad's third book, and our website is iqslpublications.com. Inshallah, he will speak further to the other questions during the show. Here's Iman Rashad's bio, and many of us know Iman Rashad because he's so gracious, and he comes on a lot, and he helps a lot of people, not just on Facebook, but he actually travels a lot. Iman Rashad Abdulrahman is a student of the late Muslim American leader Iman Warabdin Muhammad and the founder and director of the Institute of Quran Study and Leadership. He has also studied Usul ul-Din, Quranic science, Hadith science, Quran, comparative religious studies, and philosophy. Sister Mahdi graduated with a bachelor's in biology and nursing with a minor in women's studies from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2004 through 2006. She is a teacher at Claire Muhammad School, or she was a teacher in Sister Claire Muhammad School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from 2010 to 2020. A graduate of Khadija Sadiq Muhammad, students of Imam W.D. Muhammad graduate level programs for adults, which is a competitive four-year online program for adults that combines intensive study of Imam Warabdin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi's language with course in Al-Islam and human community life development. She completed that in 2023. A student of Sawiya Hawk and completed her Ijaza in HAFS and Asim in October 2020 to present. Teaching Quran recitation levels 1 and 2 at the Institute of Quran and Study and Leadership, 2021 to present. Duala, childbirth educator, and breastfeeding peer counselor. She is a certified body ready method instructor, 2022 to present. And she is homeschooled, and she's a mom of six. So, mashallah, we are so looking forward to Tim to join us again, inshallah. And we will definitely be sending out some information via info@cwsc.us. And also, those of you who are tuned in, we'll try to give you a text to keep you updated because we appreciate your patience. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards patience. And he says, is there any reward for good but good? So you can see here on Narrative Aspirations, we highlight people who have a focus on doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to do. And so that's why we call it Narrative Aspirations, because it's your narrative, it is your life's journey, it is your Khalifa mission with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we truly believe that when we do that, we have the best possible life that we can possibly have. We are going to go ahead and play Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. And let's close out with a dua. Oh Allah, let our entrance be by the gate of truth and honor, and our exit be by the gate of truth and honor, and grant us from near thee power to assist us. Ameen. Stay tuned for Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay.
Well, I'm not saying that the society is the only one to blame. I hope that's clear to you, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the society is to blame, and the society is of the bigger consequences. Therefore, the society is to blame first, and the society is to carry most of the blame. Most of the blame. The only blame these ignorant youngsters are to carry is the blame for their disrespect for their parents, disrespect for their good advisors, and most importantly, disrespect for their better conscience. And all of them register their better conscience at some moment or some split part of a second. I know they register their better conscience, and they ignore it. All of us don't fall victim to this world. No. We have youngsters who do it without those sneakers that cost $80 and $90 and $100. Do without expensive clothes. Do without a lot of dollars, bills, big numbers, big bills to show. We have youngsters that do without that, make the sacrifice. They live common, they live poor. And they stay mall. And they respect their parents. And respect the intelligent support they get from other people. And they go to school. And they graduate. They don't have stuff to show off. Like Air Jordans and whatever. They don't have that. They are the best of the people. They are the best of the youth. They are the ones that we should set up on Mount Everest. On the highest peak around. Set them up there and say, these are our super children. But at the same time, we should be aware that there is Satan and his hosts making war on all our children. And we are not to walk away and say Satan is too much for us to deal with. God says, fight Satan and his hosts, for his schemes are weak. How is this to be explained? Satan and his host comes through the weaker muscles of the human being. Yes, they come through the weaker muscles. They can't engage the stronger muscles, because the stronger muscles of the human being will reject Satan and his host. So they have to come to the weaker side, to the weaker muscles, to get into the human being. So his scheme is weak. That tells us that if we organize and increase and form and increase those who will embrace the strength, we will have the power to overcome Satan and his hosts, because their side is naturally by nature weak, and our side is by nature strong. I never feared the immoral people. I never feared the sinful, criminal people. I never feared them. Something in my nature tells me that I have much, much more strength than they have. Much more. Something in my nature tells me that if I'm one in among, against a lot of them, that I probably can defeat all of them. It doesn't mean physically, not physically. They ain't gonna be able to use these things. I'm gonna communicate something to them that's gonna make all this stuff just like a baby's arm. I'm telling you what I've witnessed. That's right, I've been among criminals. They don't make me fear, they'll put no fear in me. They look for fear, they're just like wild animals. A wild animal look for fear. And they look at me and they don't see any of that. And they just become just as sweet and human. And then they don't see any personal thing in me, you know, against them. Cause, no, I have compassion for them. And their soul registers that. The only one we can't get is one that has actually consciously joined Satan. Now, you know, they call Satan by other names. We got our name for the devil. They call Satan by other names. You know, they don't know our, the one that we call Satan. They think it's a mystery or something. And the one that they obey in is the one we know to be Satan. Yeah, they're designing, they're obeying the architects, the designers of evil upon the society of man. And when they consciously join them and identify with the evil system, whether they recognize the bosses at the top or not, they have then become Satans themselves. Ain't no correcting them. They have to be killed outright. And we don't have to kill them. All we have to do is strengthen the society for righteousness. Strengthen the society for righteousness and intelligence. That's what kills them. The more our light shines, the more it destroys them and their dark corruption. Not that I wouldn't have a physical confrontation or physical meeting with them. I sure most certainly would. Lord is my witness, I most certainly would. And I do believe I have enough brothers and sisters. Yeah. See, if we get serious, it's some high level warfare. Yeah, it'd be just like it was on that day I came out of my house during the civil rights troubles on the streets, the social upheaval, as they call it. Demonstrations and brutal mistreatment from law enforcement many times. But sometimes, and this was the case, this was one of those times, our people just lost all moral sense. And just began to rampage and plunder, rob stores, own people too, set property fire. So it was one of those times in Chicago, on the west Chicago's west side. I worked out there. I was taking care of my family. And Army Lai Muhammad was denying me any benefits from the Nation of Islam. Which was all part of my growing up and then getting prepared for what I had to do. I had to make a man out of me all the way around, you know. So I'm going to work, and I know I got to feed Shirley and Luke and Lily and Mike and her, our babies. I say they ain't stopping this work. So I asked her. You want to open tomorrow at work? He said, yeah, we open. He said, well, he said, I can't be responsible for your safety here, though. And you know what's happening. I said, I know. I'll take the risk right along with you. So I knew he had his stuff. I came with some stuff, too. Wasn't going to be no martial arts demonstration. See, when you're intelligent and God-fearing and want to be decent, and something threatens your family, let me tell you, you can become a soldier that terrorize somebody. I'm telling you, yeah. So I came on a job, and the funniest thing I saw, I guess it was Allah telling me, this ain't that serious. Here the National Guard done brought a big tank. Got a tank at the corner near the job. Big old tank. The job was like a block and a half away. I had to walk like two blocks and a half to my job after getting off the transportation. So this big tank sitting out there, and when I get off the bus, I hear noises and running, and I see this the young African-American brothers running, and one of them hollered, "Hey man, quite you serious?" About our people. About our people out wearing those tams, you know, beret tams and stuff, and those boots and stuff, you know, and looking like soldiers, looking like what they call them, the green beret or something. Paratroopers and storm troopers and stuff, you know. They looking like they ready for everything. They did everything. As soon as the man come out there with his high power stuff, they stop playing cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, and reality dawns on. Hey man, are you serious? And he was running. I walked right by the big tank. I went to my job, went right on my job. Nothing happened. The day passed, except for us aware of the problem. They had passed without incident. We're only aware of the problem outside. No incident at all. Next day, that area was so quiet, peaceful. I think there were no birds even flying around there. I mean, look at the time here. I know my time is getting away. I don't want to wear you out. It's not often that I talk this long, you know. But it ain't often that we meet like this either. I hope to be finished in about 20 minutes. Yes. Now, let me address the Muslims very briefly and get back to the aim that I'm trying to reach with my talk today. The conclusion or the aim that I'm trying to reach with my address today. Just for a moment now, I want you to understand, I mentioned it earlier, that don't think because we now are on solid moral grounds and identify now in religion that's accepted by other religions or by other nations, I should say, the religion of Islam, the international community of Muslims. Don't think that we, now because we're in that our situation for surviving and prospering in this country has no problems anymore. Thanks be to God, to Allah, as we say in Quranic Arabic or in Arabic, thanks be to God that we now have thousands and thousands and multitudes of friends from the Islamic side and also from Christian side And we have even in the among the Jews some real genuine friends now. But our enemies now are more enraged. They're more bitter than they ever were. They are more subtle than they ever were. And they are busying themselves behind closed doors as secret members of their society, working and planning how to block and abort our efforts for progress. Right now, I can say that we do have a better media, a better, more favorable press here in America for us than I've seen before. I've never seen it as good as it is now. But let me tell you why. It is because there's a strong element in the American media, the press, the whole media, radio, paper, newspapers, magazines, everything. There's a strong element there that have gotten first-hand knowledge of what we about. And they have gotten it from very admirable characters that have been in conversation with them, in touch with them, and also with me direct myself, personally. They have had conversations with them, and they have asked us questions, and we have answered their questions, and they have been satisfied with the answers we've given them, and they trust that our community is being led by responsible leaders who are leading this community to the excellence of human life on this earth. They're convinced of that. And they themselves support that, and they themselves represent another community that stand for the same thing and trying to achieve the same thing for themselves and humanity at large. So because of that, we have now these good moral soldiers on our side. And they are in important positions in this American establishment. And even in the media. Even in the media. But they are outnumbered. But they are not cowards. They are not afraid. There was a time when the society and the press or the media was against us coming into a full opportunity or equality in this country. But as the number of people in their own race who are situated in powerful positions in this society and in the press, as their numbers increased and as they began to be correctly informed and began to see the need to come to the side of the liberation or the freedom of black people, the more progress was made to bring the press to be more favorable toward blacks in this country. So you see, what I'm saying is this, that there have already been moral battles between the holders of power in this country. They've had to fight each other before. And those that supported the right won out against those that support the wrong. And again, we're in the same situation, where our religious community is not desired by certain elements in the establishment. And they actually outnumber those who favor our community living and thriving and surviving in this society. But the moral strength is greater than the immoral strength. They can't come out openly. They have to work secretly. Right. The creeping crawlers, they can't deal with the competition when the sun comes up. So they know to go back under the rocks and things. Right? So that's the situation. They are put at a disadvantage. Surely the scheme of Satan is weak. So with the strength coming out, they can't deal with us in the daylight. No. They have to do their thing when the lights go out. So the more we keep the light on, the weaker they get. You know, the Klan. Looked like the Klan would have been finished. Where is the role for the Klan today? Any decent human being sees no role for the Klan on earth today. I never saw a role for them at all. I'm sure you didn't either. But given the division of the race, black and white race, the separation of the black and white races, and the difference in the makeup of the two people, and even the law, the nature of the law in this country and everything, favoring the whites, etc., then we can see the Klan having a role to do the dirty work for the most civilized white diggers. But I don't even see them having any role. But they're just hanging around. They're up under some rock. Waiting for the lights to go out. Now, I wanted to mention that to you and then come to something of the past to show you that the people today, they have inherited the enemies of Islam. I mean the big top enemies of Islam. Those who plan and work on it methodically. Working to try to hurt us. They have inherited the work or the grievances and evil plans of their parents and forefathers. It doesn't stop. Dr. Hamouda Abdel Atif says in Islam in Focus, in explaining the meaning of the word Islam, points to, or says, that Muslims reject and also feel threatened by language like Mohammedanism and Mohammedans. Now, I remember a time when we would be called Mohammedans. That has changed over the last 30 years or so. All that's changed now. And I remember you can open a dictionary, and you still can, and find the word Mohammedanism for Islam. Now, why did they do that? Do you think those people who influenced the acceptance in the dictionary of that word for Muslims or for Islam didn't know any better? The ignorant people who are picking up a dictionary, they don't know any better. The people who get the word put in the dictionary, they know better. So this writer, Dr. Hamouda Abdel Atif, points to something that's very important for us to realize. That is that these things have not happened accidentally. This is intentional distortion of what we are all about. And they want to cheapen our religion in the eyes of innocent, intelligent people in their society. So that they just write off or dismiss us as a group of heathens or people who believe in an ism and not a revealed religion. Marxist teaching is called Marxism. There is no such thing as Christianism. But there is a term, Judaism. Why? Because Christians in this country used to hate Jews just like they hated us. But the Jew made himself so important, and he planned his future so well, that they had to give it up. They had to give up that thing they had set up for the Jews. But still the word exists, Judaism. Again, there's another explanation needed. There's a party of the Jews that don't care what you call them. The more incorrect you are, the more comfortable they are. They're going to say I came out with something anti-Semitic. I love all my Semitic brothers and sisters, and I respect the religion of the Jews, and I respect the religious community of Jews. They have among them a devil, and that's not the only devil. And I didn't tell them anything. I told you that. They know it already. So, dear beloved Muslims, we are not just joining the Islamic world. We are making our debut upon the stage of Islam. And I don't think I have to say anymore. I think you understand exactly what I'm saying. Therefore, we are not to hear things coming into the air, see things coming into the focus of the American people that's damaging to the correct understanding of Islam and Muslims, and not respond or answer those things ourselves.
End of side one. At this time, please turn the cassette over to continue in side two.
We are not joining the Islamic world and letting them do for the Muslim community or for the Islamic world everything, and we wait until they do it to join them. No, we are making an independent entrance into the world of Islam. And therefore we accept responsibility for what affects all Muslims on this earth, to act ourselves without consulting anybody else. When we know what is correct for Islam, we act ourselves. We don't have to wait for somebody else to address the problem. So you, all of you, when you're informed and you know you're informed correctly, check those things that are incorrect. Do it with kindness. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. And argue with them, confront them in debate, but in the way that is most intelligent and decent and beautiful. Don't be ugly. Don't be ignorant. Don't be insulting for no purpose except to just insult. If I insult somebody, I say, excuse me. It was necessary, but I didn't mean it. Yes, a lot of the language that I've used here today, it's insulting. It's hurting. It's going to be seen as an attack. But Allah is my judge. I mean no harm to anybody. I don't see anybody I want to attack. I just want to deal with falsehood, errors, and corruption. And I deal with it very, I would say, diligently. With care and concern for even the enemy. Because he is a human, or he had a human once upon a time. And can become human again by the grace of God. So see, I'm the kind of man that will respect the picture, even though the person ain't there. Praise be to Allah. See, you look like you in our image, so I got to respect what I see as our image. But I know there's a beast inside you. That our image is clothing a beast. I hope for the return of the person. So if I could be kind and forgiving and deal with the problem in a way to communicate to them that it's not personal. I like that expression in that movie. It's not personal. He said, I just don't take this personal. Praise be to Allah. Now, in concluding this, I'm coming to the conclusion now. Won't be long now. I say this to Muslims, but I hope, because I do have non-Muslims in my heart and in my focus as well, I hope that the non-Muslims will also identify with what I'm saying. If we want to see what is the urgency in the movement or the progress of Muslim life on this earth, I think we can see it in these concerns that we find in the Quran. The Quran addresses us and sensitizes us with its beauty, its language of beauty, its language of humanity, etc. It instructs us through our rational mind, or through our reasoning ability or faculty, and at the same time, it moves the human life with its soothing and beautiful treatment of the issues. Especially of the human being and the human person's worth as a human person. In my opinion, it motivates us for good aspirations. Any Muslim in his Muslim nature, or when I say Muslim nature, I'm using the language and understanding the Prophet gave us and the Quran gives us. I'm talking about in your good human side. In your good human life and nature. That any of you, in your good human nature, you will identify with this request that we be motivated or be moved to follow only good aspirations. Our own human soul pressures us. Our human nature presses us to reject bad or immoral or criminal aspirations. All right. be motivated for good aspirations only. That's number one. Be motivated for good involvement. Be motivated to get into good involvement. No immoral involvement. No criminal involvement. Be motivated by scriptural education. Not just this world's education. Scripture gives us an education. Scripture holds for us an education. The education for the journey of life. For progress on the road of life. Be motivated by support in Scripture that God has placed there and the prophet has helped us with his teachings or his addressing that knowledge or that support in Scripture. That support in Scripture for upgrading the rules guiding our thoughts to their conclusions. When we're thinking about what to do or where we should stand or what is the better judgment or what should be the choice, whenever we need to have our rational mind come into play and try to find right conclusions for us, we should be aware that God has revealed rules for our thoughts. For guiding our thoughts to their conclusion. Now, if we don't have those rules that God wants us to have, then we have rules that Satan wants us to have. And Satan has ordered the glamorous world, the show life world. Satan has designed that to also impart to us, breathe out to us, whisper to us. That's what Scripture says. Whisper to us by hints and suggestions, by subtlety and subliminal language and pictures. Rules for our thinking. And his rules are not consistent. Satan's rules are not consistent. The only consistency in the thinking that Satan gives us is that it all brings us to hell. All of his thinking brings us to hell. That's the only thing consistent about it. It brings us all to hell. But some of his thinking will make artificial roles out of this sister and an abnormal penis out of that brother. Excuse the language. You see, he just looks at figures. That's what Satan does. Satan looks at figures. But let's see, he imitates God's creation. I want this person to be a serpent. I want this person to be a fly. I want this person to be snake. I want this person to be a rabbit. I want this person to be a sheep. Yeah, he makes sheep too. I want this person to be a sheep. I want this person to be a combination of creatures. And he put together a combination. I want him to have a dog's nose, a bird's mouth. So he makes his creature, right? He makes all his creatures. So the only thing consistent about it, look at all these strange odd things working and not in the pattern of nature. But the only thing consistent about it is they're all going to hell. Be motivated by Scripture to preserve our special dignity that God wants for us. This world interests us in images that we think is dignified. This world gives us pictures of our dignity. Let us consult God's word and let's see what God says is our dignity. And let us first establish ourselves in that dignity and then don't take on anything else that's contributing to our dignity unless it is in accord or compatible, acceptable in the edifice, in the dignified edifice God wants for us. These things to you may not sound very important, but they are most important for us to get our life back intact and have it complete. This dignity asks of us that we be responsible to self, to the Muslim self, to the self that God created and that God wants to evolve and progress to rise into position and authority over the selves that the world want us to be. But the world want us to be it. The world wants you to be a certain Joe or a certain Mary. The world wants you to be that. But God wants you to be the Mary He created you to be, or the Joe He created you to be. You see? Well, let us find that dignity and find that human being, that human type that is common for all of us. That means that all of us, God wants all of us to be the same in that human picture. The same. One. That's the one man. That's many. That's the one people, or the one couple. That's many. Let us all identify in that one excellent human picture that God wants us to be and have that human dignity that belongs to that human picture that God Himself created to evolve and rise into power over all other pictures of us. To accept responsibility for ourselves. You know, Islam, I'm concluding this, Islam demonstrates this particular concern and interest when we see Muslims praying Sunnah prayers and no one leading them. Pray all together, follow an imam, and then he steps off and he prays his Sunnah prayers. And the Sunnah prayers are really the Prophet's prayers. Prayers that the Prophet did in addition to what God ordered are made compulsory. So what are these Sunnah prayers? Volunteer prayers that your own good human nature dictates. So the Prophet is the model of the human excellence in all of us. So we follow his example, his excellence. We follow his Sunnah. We follow his example, his excellence. So God ordered so many prayers, and he says, God told me to do that much, but I'm going to do more. Isn't that how a good child is to the parent? The parent says, clean up the kitchen. That's all. There are some children that are so good, so devoted to their parent, so conscious of the benefit that they're getting from their parents, and love their parents so much that they will clean the kitchen, go in the bathroom, and see it needs cleaning, and when the parent comes back, oh, you clean the bathroom too. Did a sunnah char. And what does that say to us about God and about man? That God is so kind and merciful that he has not imposed upon you the limit of your capacity. And man is so good that he accepts more than what God asks of him. That his human nature goes further than what God's insistence is. His human nature insists that he do a bit more than even his God insisted that he do. Because he loves his God and appreciates his God so much. Say, well, thank you, God. Now I've done what you told me to do, but my heart is still moving me to say some more to you. I want to thank you some more. Start all over again. Allahu Akbar. Demonstrates the mercy and beauty of God and man. Isn't that wonderful? But for practical benefits now, where are the practical benefits? Here are the practical benefits. Our society is never to be dependent upon a clergy, a sheikdom, a caliph,
yes,
or a group of caliphs.
Yes.
It's dependent upon the common person. The common person in our society guarantees the future of our society. If all our leaders are absent, you all are potential leaders. And you all are taught how to do the prayer and lead the prayer. If you're not, it's because you haven't done it yet. You yourself take the initiative to learn how to do the prayers. If you can do the prayer for yourself, you can do it for every one of us. The prayer for one person is the prayer for all people. Ain't no two ways to do it. You can lead your own self in prayer, you can lead all of us in prayer. Done the same way. So this is saying to us that the government rests upon the common individual. That's what it says. And that's what a lot of our ignorant so-called leaders of Islam don't know. That our religion is the best democracy, and this world, the West, has just come into a certain dimension of the beauty of our own democracy. This democracy has a contradiction because it grants freedom to evil and good. Without punishing the evil and checking the evil. With effective means. You know, the punishment of evil in this country is really a mockery. It is a mockery. It's a mockery of justice. And don't think this is not the feelings of a great number of Americans. This is not just Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is not a black man's complaint. This is the complaint of a great number of American people, American citizens. So we should also accept the responsibility to lead the American people into a stronger and more beautiful democracy. It ain't through growing. It can be better. It doesn't mean that we will go and knock on doors and say, we heard you watching 16mm hardcore pornography films. We're raiding this house. No, the Muslims will respect privacy more than this world respects privacy. We won't be breaking into your house to see if you doing the dhikr right or something like that. Or looking at the bottom of the human being instead of the head of the human being. That's up to you. If you want to be a freak in your own private quarters, we won't bother you. But don't impose that on our children and on our society. Now, if we accept what I've given so far, I think we're in good shape. So now I come to the last note I have here. And it is connected with what I just said about, what was that? Finally, here it is here on the other page. Finally, I have to go back. That we should be motivated by Scripture to prefer our special dignity. And that dignity includes being responsible to self. Or to one's own mind, we may say. To one's own mind. If you don't want the common people being so gullible and so inactive mentally that they don't do nothing but wait for signals from their leaders to see if I should think differently or if this course that I'm on is okay. No, God has made all of us rational and arai. Arai means a shepherd for yourself with rational faculties. He made us all to be shepherds for ourselves, individual selves, with rational faculties. And this last concern that I bring to you is tied to that one. There's a demand on the human spirit for the expression of the individual's social dignity. Social dignity that God created us with. It's in our nature. It's inherent in us. And that soul, it knows that the full growth of the human life is not realized or won't be realized short of us having social dignity. Now, we can better understand the disappointment in our professional people when we see that they have achieved materially, financially, they have achieved academically, etc. But when it comes to the society that or the social group that they belong to, they are not satisfied and cannot be satisfied. See how God has created us with a nation where we, if we succeed and go out from our people and realize great accomplishments and being praised and recognized for great accomplishment, we will still be burdened if our people are behind us, poor and miserable, confused, and living in corruption or self-destruction that promise us our social lot. It's a burden on us. It's a misery. It's an agony on us in our life. So it burdens us to come back to our social responsibility to not only establish social dignity for our one family, but social dignity for the family, the group family that we belong to. Islam prepares us for that. If you stay Muslim and to keep learning and educating yourself in the knowledge of the Quran, and in the knowledge of our Prophet's ways, his teaching and his ways of doing things, we are destined to one day, if not in this generation, soon to come into social dignity on this earth, in America, and in the eyes of the world. And I'm for working as hard for the social dignity of our people. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in the last years of his life, working to dignify us by getting material acquisition, our material assets. He was desperately trying to do that to attract our people so that the poor of our kind will look to the Nation of Islam and say there's a chance with the Nation of Islam for us to come out of poverty. I am as determined as he was to build the social image of our people, and if you stay with me, we're going to enjoy it. I don't think I may be old, but I think I'll still have enough hearing in the ears to hear you all tell me. Don't worry. We're well established socially, Brother Imam. Our families are in good shape. The majority of our families are in good shape. The statistics now are very favorable. We have enough Muslims and enough non-Muslims that in our black community, our African-American community, that has bought our ideas, have been motivated by our interests. The social establishment of the black man is very good, Brother Imam. And I'm going to raise this hand up. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us next time for another public address by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. For books, tapes, and videos by Imam Muhammad, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Thanks for listening.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week, inshallah, on Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.